Hey everyone, welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. I'm your host, Rick Campos. Today, we welcome Naomi Elon of Little Crown Interiors. Naomi has been in the interior design community for 10 years and has dug her heels firmly into the niche market of nursery design. During our conversation, we touch on topics such as e-design, social media, and communal office space. Our conversation comes full circle when we discuss Paying It Forward, and Naomi shares her association with an amazing organization called A Sense of Home. So let's get started. Welcome to the studio, Naomi. Thank you so much for joining me today. Can you start by telling us just a little bit about yourself and your business?
Well, my business is called Little Crown Interiors, and basically I do all the same things as a regular interior designer would do, but I do them specifically for nurseries and children's rooms. So I have a very specific clientele, and it's a little different. You know, we're dealing with some safety concerns that are not considered in most other jobs, like in a kitchen or living room. But other than that, it's pretty much the same, I would say.
I bet there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration that I probably don't think about on a day-to-day with my design.
Maybe. Yeah, again, but just mostly with safety.
Safety.
Is something that I think about with every single product, down to fabrics, down to, you know, bedding, anything. But I'm used to it. It's become a language that I just automatically use when I'm shopping.
You always, when you started your business, did you start with the intention of having that niche specific to nurseries, or did it evolve into that? Was there some trial and error associated with that? Like, did you do kitchen and bath and hated it? Or did you always kind of envision this direction for your business?
So I actually, my initial intention was to get into hospital design or possibly institutional type of things. But the economy was not great at that time. So it was around 2007. A lot of firms were not hiring, and I ended up just taking a job because I needed a job at a small company out of Costa Mesa that was doing nursery and kids design, which at the time was almost unheard of. I didn't even know that that existed. So I took the job. They hired me right away as a lead designer, and it was great. It was really fun. I got to use colors and patterns and things that you normally wouldn't be able to use. And clients were really excited because they were pregnant and, you know, having their first child, and it had a different feel than I was used to.
Your clients are probably very excited about the process.
Excited and scared. So there's a little bit of hand-holding sometimes as far as the fear and the overwhelm. But I'm glad I can be there to help them through that. So that initial company closed its doors, and that was 2008, only a year later. And I just decided to start my own company because I enjoyed it so much. And now we're coming up on 10 years.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
10 years. Time flies.
Oh, can't believe it.
So tell me, Naomi, with that being said, what would you say that your secret to survival is?
I think adapting to technology. Not that I'm any techie by any means, but I think the industry changes so fast, and it's changing faster and faster just because the way the world is going right now, with advancements and everything, you know. So again, 10 years ago, e-design was not a thing. Nobody did that. And then slowly that started to trickle in. And, whenever I see things like that happening, I'll try to learn about them, make sure that I'm on top of it. And then maybe if I decide to offer it myself, I can, but at least I know what I'm up against, what other people are doing.
Did you implement e-design as part
I did.
Of your business
I
program?
I did, and it's been actually really successful for
You're
me.
You're still doing it now?
I do.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, I'll have a client, I just finished one in New York, who they call me and they said, okay, here's my measurements, here's photos of my room, we're having twins. I'm freaking out about it. help me.
Help me, please.
You know, twins in a New York City apartment is a challenge. Wow. Spatially. So, you know, so I can take their measurements without even seeing that space. and do a floor plan. I can help them choose furniture that's going to fit correctly. I can advise them on what brands, you know, will work, which brands are quality, etc. And then I make them a little design board, send that over, and then they do it themselves. They handle the installation, contracting.
And that allows you to work with clients all over the country.
Yes.
Not just locally.
Yes, correct. And that's been fun. That's right. Been fun for me. I enjoy that. I do not do international, again, because of safety issues.
I bet.
There's so many standards within the U.S. for, you know, cribs and things like that. So right. I do stay within the U.S. for e-design.
Cool.
But it has expanded things a lot. And it's great for people who have a smaller budget. You know, they can't spend $50,000
right.
on a nursery. And it's great. And for DIYers, people who like to, they want the design help, but they enjoy painting or they enjoy projects on their own. So it's more flexible.
Absolutely. Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's good to hear that that concept is still alive. I felt like it had a moment and I felt like maybe it peaked. I know a lot of designers that did it and stopped doing it over the years. So I wasn't aware that it's still very alive, but it sounds like it still is for those of you that have managed to, figure it all out and make it work for your business.
I think one of the main reasons it is still relevant for me is because I'm dealing with one specific room. So it's more difficult if somebody wants to do an e-design for their whole house or several rooms at once, or, you know, it can get complicated. Issues can come up, but with me or in just the nursery kids in particular, they just need the one space. And sometimes they don't even need a lot of help. They just want to pick my brain. They want to say, how do I pick a crib?
Right.
You know?
Right. And you're okay with that.
And I'm okay with that. Yeah, definitely.
So Naomi, what's the one thing that you wish you knew then when you started your business or when you dove into the pool of the interior design business that you know now?
Ooh. I think just the amount of business skill required, that part of it took a lot of adjustment, learning how to deal with my accounting, learning how to run a business, learning how to build a website, and then marketing and all of that on top of it. You know, almost a very little amount of my time is spent designing.
Which I think every designer says.
I mean,
every designer says that. And I mean, I think that whole concept of understanding the business of design is really kind of the foundation for this podcast.
Okay.
There's so much business acumen required to be successful in the design industry. And everyone thinks, myself included, and probably you, when we were in design school and we couldn't wait to just start our business and design and shop and do all of the amazing things associated with interior design, which we still get to do. But once you mix in that business component, it suddenly turns into an entirely different world that you hadn't quite envisioned when you were in design school.
Yes.
But I think it's a reality. It is a reality. I know it's a reality. And so I think the more interior designers that talk about that reality and acknowledge it and share information with regards to the business side, I think the more beneficial that would be to every other designer out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I remember a couple years back, my high school contacted me to see if I wanted to do kind of an alumni career day. And I did. So I went back to my high school and, you know, the girls who were interested, it was all girls school, the girls who were interested in interior design would come listen to me. And if they were interested in something else, they would go elsewhere. And I remember them asking me so many questions like, oh, your job sounds so fun. You must just get to play with fabrics all day. And I said, well, actually,
I've got news for you.
There's a whole lot of other things that I have to do. And, you know, I try not to scare them, of course, but.
Right. But at the same time, deliver a little bit of reality.
Yes.
Just so that they are aware. Yeah, I understand that completely. Yeah.
But so, of course it's fun at times. Absolutely. It's fun.
It's an incredible amount of fun. And I always end with that. I usually start when someone says something like that. Oh, you're a designer. How fun that must be. I bet you have what a fabulous life. And then, I proceed to tell them the reality of the business, but I always do end with, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm doing what I love to do. It's a pretty good time. Mm-hmm. Business is business, but not everyone can say that they just love what they do every day and they wake up and they live and breathe it. So I think we're really fortunate about that. And that's why I'm so passionate about this industry. Naomi, so you are a one-woman show, a solopreneur, we like to call them.
I am, yes.
And how is that working out for you? I mean, 10 years, have you always been doing it on your own, or have you had help over the past years and kind of, you know, on an as-needed basis?
Mm-hmm. I did not start out alone. So when I was working at that first company I told you about, I met another designer there. And when we first opened Little Crown Interiors, we did so together. And we remained partners until maybe about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And she unfortunately had a health issue. So now I've been on my own for about around that time, 2-3 years. And it has been an adjustment. There's been days where I just feel like I can't do it all. And I have brought in some help, you know. I have someone now who helps with my website. Mm-hmm. I have people I can call if I need help with various things. Of course, I have an accountant and all that.
Important point to make.
Uh-huh.
And the more solopreneurs I talk to, the more I hear and understand that while they may be doing the day-to-day on their own, they're still relying on literally a team of professionals to make it all come together outside of the office, like accountants and things like that.
Right. Bookkeepers. And you have a lawyer just in case you need a contract issue resolved or looked at. You know, there's not people that are on staff, but people that you can consult if needed.
100%.
That's 100%. Important to have, I think.
Do you think that you will expand your business at some point, or do you kind of like working at this level?
I'm not sure. I do like working at this level. I kind of enjoy being a lone wolf in a way. I'm a perfectionist. You know, I imagine being a micromanager that people would just hate.
So you can spend all the time on the details you want and no one will judge you.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's also not terribly realistic if I do want to expand and... so yeah, it's something I would consider. Absolutely. I do have an intern.
You do have an intern.
I do. I took the leap of faith and hired an intern.
That's excellent.
Yeah, that's been helpful. She's not full time, but.
And you found your intern where?
She actually found me. I got a random email from this girl who went to the same design school that I went to. And, she said, "Hey, you know, I just happened to on your website. I thought it looked really great. I'm at that point now where I'm looking for an internship." And I said, "You know what? I could actually use you."
I could use a little help.
So I met her and she's great. And so she's been working with me for a few months.
That's great.
Yeah. It's been fun to kind of see her excitement because everything is new to her.
Are you able to, I think, you know, interns are really handy when it comes time to sort of delegate the things like social media mm-hmm. and those things that mm-hmm. need to happen. And they're basically a requirement of our business today.
Yep.
And maybe they didn't used to be 10 years ago, but for sure now we all have to do it, like it or not. How much time do you spend on social media? Because I see you do have quite a presence on social media.
I do. I would say I am not good at being consistent. I'll admit that flaw. I would say if I'm doing it as I should be doing it, I mean, really not that long, maybe 20 minutes a day,
right.
Something like that. Once you get into the rhythm of it, it's not bad.
Yeah, I understand that's all the time it should take.
Right.
It's just working up to that.
Right.
I too am a little negligent in that regard, and I'm learning to get better. And I have my sights set on that 20 minutes a day, but right now I spend a little bit more time, probably mostly because of the trial and error associated with mm-hmm. it. But I think once I get into my groove, it'll become a little more second nature to me.
Yeah, I think I would say the biggest challenge I have with social media is just finding enough content, mm-hmm. especially with visual social media like Pinterest and Instagram, specifically Instagram. I haven't designed enough projects to be posting 2 original photos every day
right.
without them repeating. Mm-hmm. And I would say most designers who aren't, you know, unless you're working at a huge firm or something, but most designers on their own would also have that same issue. So that's probably my biggest challenge there.
Right. So it's probably about finding a balance of photos of your work and inspirational photos,
right.
things that you like.
Right.
And I've even talked to other designers who have said that while they may not have a huge portfolio of work, they're able to break down their existing work into smaller vignettes and bits
yes.
and pieces to really kind of maximize the exposure of maybe just one project for several posts.
Right.
And unless
right.
you were really privy to it, you wouldn't even know that it's all the same house.
Right.
So I thought that was really
right.
creative.
And I'm not doing a whole house.
Right.
I'm doing a room.
This is true.
So I end up with, you know, that problem kind of can be trickier. But I do, when I do my photo shoots, I try to take lots of detail shots, lots mm-hmm. of little, you know, cute vignettes that will give me more photos to use that aren't exactly the same. But yeah, that's a challenge.
Right, right. So Naomi, let me ask you, what would be one little morsel of wisdom that you would like to share with the design community, to both emerging design professionals, seasoned design professionals? I don't think it really matters where we are in this world of design. I think that we are all open and receptive to a little bit of advice or wisdom mm-hmm. from fellow designers.
Yeah, I would say, and this goes really for any business owner, not necessarily designers, but to find a way to make it meaningful for you. I think as people who are entrepreneurs and who work, not necessarily alone, but when you work for yourself, I think it gives you an excellent opportunity to look for that meaning that, you know, you might not get otherwise. It's an opportunity. And that's something that's really important to me. So I seek that out.
Right.
And to weave into my business and to also keep my life stable and balanced. And, you know, as we've talked about working 20-hour days when you
right.
sit on your laptop and you just keep going.
Because we love it, but mm-hmm. it's not always the right thing to do. And so I think that mm-hmm. life balance is really very important.
I think so. And especially like we talked about when we're doing all of our business and our accounting and our lawyer, our contracts.
The lawyer stuff.
The lawyer stuff. you know, that can feel draining, especially
sure.
if you're working long hours like that. So I think when there is the opportunity to weave in something that gives you a little bit of personal passion or excitement, it can really help with those long hours when you're doing minutia.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So what do you do for fun? And don't say design, because that's not an acceptable answer for this
podcast. I don't do design for fun. I'm pretty lazy about it in my own life. I'm a big movie fan.
Excellent.
I love movies. I could just relax with a movie at night or go out to a theater. I'm an introvert, so I do all of the, you know, movies, I read books, anything I can do within the confines of my home.
So you don't have to go out to leave
the
premises.
I enjoy going out, sometimes.
Right. Now, I'm a homebody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like being home
mm-hmm.
because if I'm not home, then I'm in the office.
Right.
So the only way I can not be in the right. office is to keep myself occupied at home.
Yes.
I quite like being in my home.
My issue there is networking and meeting people, and that's hard to do. I work from home. Sometimes I'll just kind of hole up here
right.
and work all day for a week, and then all of a sudden, I haven't really talked to anybody in a while.
Right. You so, make a good point. Yeah.
If
you work from home, and then this is kind of where you want to be on your off time as well, just, you know, in a different mode. You do need to leave the carpeted area, Naomi.
I do. And you know what? You'll be proud. I have joined a co-working facility.
Wow.
And I go there sometimes, which is excellent. I've met a lot of people there, a lot of young professionals. And on other days, I'll just go to coffee shops just to kind of get myself out into the world
right.
a little bit.
No, so tell me a little bit more about that. So are there other design professionals that share the space, or just other professionals
in general? At the co-working space?
Yes.
There are actually. There's one other company there that does design. I cannot remember the name of it right now, but just in general, having people around that you can bounce stuff off of, you know, there's
sure.
people in there who do technology, there's people who do marketing, there's people who Sidecar Donuts is out of the office I go to.
Wow. Is there someone there that you can delegate your social media to?
If I chose to, yeah. I mean, I'd have to pay him for it.
Right.
But I think experiencing kind of the breadth of what other entrepreneurs are doing, even if it's not in your field, is valuable. Like we talked about having a group of people at the ready to consult with. Mm-hmm. It's just expanding upon that idea. And I think that's valuable to me.
Wow. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a really interesting concept. And I think mm-hmm. that's would be a really good thing for any solopreneur who is working from home and feels like they're not out and about as much as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
There's an avenue, a direct avenue to connect and network with other professionals, even if they're not related to the design industry, that yes. could still be of value to you, or just kind of being around other professionals.
Right, exactly.
You and I spoke briefly before we hit record, and you were telling me about a charity organization that you're working with, and I think it's really pretty incredible. And so I want to learn more about it, and I want you to tell me a little bit more about it on air so that our listeners can learn more about it, because it just sounds amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, so the organization is called A Sense of Home, and they are based out of Los Angeles. And this goes back to what we had talked about earlier about finding meaning for me. And this is, of course, everyone has their own avenue toward that. But because I'm in the baby and children's area, I found this charity that kind of relates to that. It had started years ago. I just found myself having a natural inclination towards the topic of foster care and adoption. And I've dealt with several clients who've adopted. I've heard a lot of stories. It's just one of those things that kind of stuck in my brain, and it meant something to me. And I felt, you know, this is an area where I would like to help out someday. And so I came across A Sense of Home kind of randomly, I think maybe even on social media, I don't really remember, but what they do is they help kids who've aged out of foster care get into homes and essentially furnish those homes for them. So they collect donated items, old furniture, decor, artwork, everything you need, and then they go set it up and they have a big install day.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I do anyway.
Right. That's totally our deal.
You know, and I think I might have some skills that could help out with that. So I've been working with them to essentially accost my vendors for donated items. You know, any of my vendors that I can get to help out or send things.
Right.
That's been great. And I've had some good feedback thus far. And then I'll be going to help as well with the actual physical installations, to help set up and all of that. So I think it could be really, really great for me personally, and also give my business more meaning, because of course I can promote it and I can put it on my social media and help get the word out, help, other people see what can be done. And I think that's really important. And I also work with my clients. You know, when you're redoing a room, you end up with old stuff that you need to get rid of. So that's also one way. So it's like, okay, well, I'll take your stuff and I'll give it to
this
charity. And instead of, you know, it just kind of getting thrown out or put in storage.
I think every designer can say that after an installation or two or three, there's mm-hmm. always something left over that maybe mm-hmm. didn't work out, a lamp, a chair, a couple of extra mm-hmm. yards of fabric that all just kind of sits around our design studio, and we really don't know what we're going to do
exactly.
with it next. And I mean, it sounds like this is a perfect opportunity to apply those things and
yes.
put them to good use.
Yes. And that exact situation just happened. I have this hot pink mirror, huge mirror, like 6 foot wide mirror. Giant frame, hot pink, and it's been in my garage for 4 years.
Right.
Because what am I going to do with that? So I emailed them and I said, any chance you'd be interested in this really wacky mirror? And she said, actually, yeah. So I guess they were working with a with someone who her favorite color was pink.
Well,
and
there you
so
go.
I said, great, and I dropped it off. And
now you're a hero.
Well, I wouldn't say that. But.
That sounds like an amazing program. I love the sound of that.
It was founded by an interior designer.
That's incredible.
So it makes a lot of sense.
Right, right. Yeah. I did a community service project a few years back, and it was really probably one of the most fulfilling things I had done in design.
Okay.
And I still reflect upon it to this day, and I talk about it to this day. And whenever I hear other designers say that they're giving back in that way, I think that it's so incredible, and I think that it's worth sharing. Especially because over the years, I've found that we've made so many connections with vendors. I mean,
yes.
I say jokingly that we have a garage full of leftover stuff, but I'm also kind of serious, like we do. And sometimes you can place it and sometimes you can't. But I think also all of the years that we spend cultivating these relationships with our vendors can culminate into this opportunity to mm-hmm. partner with them above and beyond to benefit an organization like this.
Right.
And like, that's the kind of call I want to make.
That's
right. The kind of favor I want to call in.
Right.
And so I think that's a pretty exciting part of that concept.
I think for me also, it's important to remember that we're in a luxury business.
Correct.
And that's great. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it is, it's a luxury, and what even I think being an interior designer is a luxury.
I agree.
And you know, we're really lucky. We are really lucky. Excuse me.
We are.
Tongue tied. So yeah, I think about that a lot too. And not everyone's as lucky.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. Why don't you share with us a little bit about, your social media and website. What is your website if people want to go online and check you out?
Sure. My website is littlecrowninteriors.com. Interiors is plural.
Perfect.
And my social media, let's see, my Instagram is, I think, just Little Crown Interiors.
And easy to find.
Yeah, I think most of my stuff is easy to find. But Instagram is really my main presence.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me and helping me launch this incredible adventure of mine in the world
yes,
of podcasting.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
You were very supportive from day one, and I've been anxiously waiting to interview you. It just took me some time to learn the technicalities mm-hmm. associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when we hit stop and playback, we'll know if it worked.
Everything was deleted.
We may have to do this all over again.
That's fine. I enjoy your company.
As do I. Thanks a million. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for joining us today. I tell you, talking with Naomi about her design business was both informational and inspirational. And I can honestly say I learned so much. I hope you did too. Naomi's advice to keep up with technology was not wasted on me. One of my biggest deterrents to launching this podcast was fear of technology. I realized that if I wanted to keep up with what's relevant and trending in the design community, I had to embrace technology and make it work for me. I also learned that e-design is alive and well. That reminded me that just because something isn't a fit for my business model doesn't mean that it can't be the golden ticket for somebody else's business. Take a moment to evaluate your business model. Maybe e-design could work for you. I love the fact that Naomi talked about the pros and cons of working from a home studio, and I was especially intrigued by her initiative to join a co-working space to supplement her networking efforts. My biggest takeaway from my conversation with Naomi was her work with A Sense of Home, and how meaningful her collaboration is with such an amazing organization. At some point, we all need to take a step back from our day-to-day and ask ourselves, what can I do to help? Our work as design professionals impacts the lives of others, and that gift is not limited to those who have the means to hire us. We all work for free at one time or another, so find an organization like A Sense of Home and put your goodwill to good use. For links to Naomi's website and to A Sense of Home, visit our webpage, designbizsurvivalguide.com. While you're there, click the link to your favorite social media platform and follow us for daily inspiration and updates on upcoming episodes. Thank you for listening.